Welcome to the She Speaks Sport podcast, proudly elevating women's sport and sharing athlete stories in their own voices. Join us for empowering conversations and a front row seat to the stories that deserve to be heard.
The wind is crazy and howling out here in Cape Town, but you know, it's not all bad news for everybody, especially those who are wearing a dress. Don't go outside like that. But you know what? If you're kiting and are going to be doing some kite surfing, well, then this is the kind of weather that you love, that you're looking forward to. Someone that grew up right here in Blouberg, I just have never got used to this wind, but it is exciting because the Red Bull King of the Air is going to be happening really, really soon. And it's, of course, as we know, the premier big air kiteboarding competition, and it features so many incredible athletes from around the world based on the height of jumps, variety of tricks, style, everything. And it's going to be taking place really soon. But what's exciting for me today, and of course for people who love women's sport and love celebrating and just advocating for female athletes, is that this year we have our Red Bull King of the Air women's division, the first time ever, and it is so super exciting. And to talk with me about this, one of the fellow athletes that's going to be participating that we're going to be able to see very, very soon competing is Jasmine Cho. Now, Jasmine, before I introduce you, I want to say thank you so much for being here today. It is super, super cool to spend some time with you. And I know that you were recently in Brazil, so you're here back in Cape Town. How have you been? Are you doing good?
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. Really, really looking forward to it. I've been great. Yes, my husband and I have been in Brazil for the past 3 months, and we just got back to Cape Town a couple of days ago. It was quite hectic travels, but we made it back. And yeah, so we spend about 5 months of the year here, and then and I do consider Blouberg to be home. But then we travel for the rest of the 7 months. But we're so glad to be back.
It's super, super cool. I love that you consider Blouberg home. I mean, I grew up here like a kilometer away from Kite Beach. And even now I can see the kite surfers like when I look out my window when I do. So it's really cool. Welcome back home.
And thank you. Thank you very much.
I'm just really glad that you're doing well. And of course, that jet lag, how is that doing? Because I mean, I know when you travel like forward in time, it's always more difficult, I find.
The jet lag hasn't been so bad this time around. For some reason, it's actually only 5 hours, so it's not crazy.
Yeah.
But previous years, it's been quite bad, and I don't know why. But my husband and I are doing much better with it this time around.
That's so cool, and also probably some excitement about what's going to be happening pretty soon, I'm sure. I mean, we're excited just to watch and to celebrate what's going to be happening. And now, a bit about Jasmine for those who don't know about her, because obviously you're listening and going, "Wow, okay, she's from the U.S., which she is. She moved to the U.S. at the age of 2, but originally she's from South Korea, from Seoul, Korea, and she grew up with such a passion for sport, excelling in track and field as a competitive 400 meters runner, which is really cool. And after graduating in 2014, she pursued a career as an art director for feature films and for television in none other than New York City, which some of us really love. But she did feel a void left by her athletic pursuits, because obviously if you're so competitive, you're definitely going to feel that void. And of course that changed in 2018 when she discovered kitesurfing, and it's a sport that reignited her competitive spirit, her love sport movement. And by 2022, which wasn't so long ago, she fully dedicated herself to big air kiting and balancing that passionate global traveling, like she spoke about, alongside her South African husband, who also shares her love for the sport. Over the past 4 years, Jasmine has competed in amazing, prestigious events like Big Air Kite League, GKA, reaching the semifinal at Lords of Tram and Grand Canaria. And of course, like she said, she considers Cape Town her home base, but of course, considering Blouberg, so amazing. And Jasmine, I wanted to ask you, before I go, like, what does this women's division mean to everybody and to kite surfing of Red Bull King of the Air? I want to bring it a little bit, you know, closer to home and say, what does this actually mean to you? I know that you applied 3 times, I believe, for King of the Air, hoping that there'd be a women's division. Now in 2024, we finally have that. What does this mean to you on a personal level? What has that journey been like?
Yes, for sure. So it's been an incredible journey. Ever since I started really pushing big air, we've always looked up to King of the Air as the top competition, as the competition to strive for. And of course, none of the Red Bull events in kitesurfing have a women's division. So in Kota, in Cape Town, we've had a lady, Anjali, who is an absolute legend. She is the mother of women's big air. She actually was accepted into King of the Air, which they call an open division. They don't specify that it's a male division. She was accepted a few years ago twice. And so she went, as soon as we saw her really, really pushing big air, it kind of inspired the rest of us ladies to also push big air and to also realize, wow, so if she can do it, then we can also do it. And it's watching her and her journey to get into King of the Year and then be accepted and actually compete in it twice has been such an experience for my growth and my journey and inspiration to pursue big air. And so when I started really pushing, which was quite late in 2022, and that was really after I spent a few years starting to focus more on kiting. As you mentioned, in 2018, I first discovered kitesurfing, and I was still balancing doing kite trips every now and then with working in New York. And luckily, my job is it's project based, so I can take a decent amount of time in between projects. So I would leave for about 6 weeks and go travel somewhere and kite and then come back. So it allowed me to progress a bit. And then in 2020, during COVID, when everything shut down, my whole industry shut down, no one was working because, as you know, production requires a lot of people to be in a small space at the same time. So there was a big break, and I spent that time in 2020 really focusing on kiting and progressing. And that was kind of the start of my journey. And then in 2022 was really when I started, when I decided, hey, I'm going to stop working on movies and TV shows. And I'm just going to focus on kiting, which worked out well because my industry naturally slowed down. There wasn't as many projects happening. It was, there was a big writer's strike, a big actor strike recently. So it naturally slowed down. And I started pushing the kiting and I was competing more. I was fully focused the whole year on traveling to places to chase strong wind. And since then, every year I've been applying to Red Bull King of the Air in hopes that they would have a women's division. I mean, I kind of knew that there was no, they kept mentioning, oh, this is an open division and any women are able to apply and get in. And I was like, man, the men's division is they're really taking off. We obviously lack in many, many ways where we can't just reach the level of the guys, unfortunately. And so knowing this, I was like, man, I really, really hope that they have a women's division come up. And the first year I applied, sent in my video entry, and the year after I also did. And then finally this year there were more talks about having a women's division. We had two ladies really push and speak to them about it, and it finally happened, and I'm unbelievably just so excited and so grateful. And this journey has been incredible. And I think all of us, all the ladies who are in the division are just so excited and honored to be a part of it. I can't even explain to you how excited I am just to be able to compete here in Cape Town, here in Blouberg, where I do consider my home spot. I have competed or I've kited here more than I've kited in any other spot around the world. I feel super comfortable here in the Kickers. And it's also just such a stunning destination. You've got amazing sunsets, beautiful mountain as a backdrop, and we're just so excited to be here and so thrilled.
I love, listening to how you share this and also how, you describe Cape Town, because of course I think when you do live here, sometimes you can lose how beautiful it is. Like you said, I mean, it is such a beautiful destination. And I know people from around the world come kiting here all the time, but I think that we lose the essence of it. But it is just so incredibly beautiful. And I remember when Anjali, took part in King of the Air initially, I mean, the very first time. And of course, I know that I felt excited because I was like, wow, they have a woman as part of this. Is this like Queen of the Air now? What are we doing here? Let's do it. And it was amazing. And people were excited. I remember people were excited, to see her. And there was like all eyes watching her. And it was just a phenomenal, thrilling moment. I remember it so clearly that first time. And I think that is something that cannot be overstated because it wasn't just something that I experienced. It was something that so many people experienced. And then that that joy, but also that hope, and also that we always talk about role models, right? Like, and how women, not just girls, young girls, need to see that and go, I can aspire to that. But also, I think it's really cool that there is now a women's division, because that's what we need. That's what we need to see. And no matter what happens, Jasmine, you are just part of history now. You're writing history. You're part of this. Maybe 100 years from now, someone will be writing a thesis on, like, when did the women's division of Red Bull King of the Air actually happen, and a research of your life a bit. I mean, it's so cool because it's this inaugural women's division, and this is setting the standard, really. I'm so grateful to have been here in Cape Town. So this is what it means to you too. But what does it mean to be part of this, like, globally? What does it mean for women who are in kitesurfing? And also, do you believe and like, hope that this is going to also inspire other places and destinations to pick this up and go, hey, we should do this too.
Yes, definitely. Absolutely. I mean, just going back to Anjali and her inspiration a few years ago, she was the first lady who really showed us that big air, it wasn't just for the men. It wasn't just for the boys. It wasn't for those who, could get rid of that fear factor in their brain, turn that off and go do something crazy. And to watch her go so big, ride so powerfully, and she still does. She rides with so much power, so much speed, and she goes so high. And to just watch her ride even now is truly amazing. And I think she was a catalyst for all of us starting out. I mean, now there's a quite a significant amount of bigger ladies all traveling and kiting and competing together. And I know like there's another generation that's coming up, and I really know that this start of the Red Bull King of the Year Women's Division will inspire them. They're going to be so stoked to continue to train and to push hard and to overcome that fear factor. Hopefully, in a way where everyone remains safe, because as you know, big air is still an extreme sport. It's still very scary, but I'm hopeful, and I know that even, I mean, I've talked to other people and other ladies who are in probably the next up and coming generation of big air girls, and they're so excited. Also, I know for a fact that this will also inspire and hopefully have other Red Bull events around the world also create women's divisions. I mean, I know we're always looking for more competitions for the ladies. Right now, it's quite limited. We only have this year in 2024, we had three other competitions for big air outside of this Red Bull King of the Air. It was possibly only going to be two, and then they ended up squeezing in another competition. Yeah, we're always looking for more competitions. The guys have so many, and a lot of us travel with them anyways, so it would be great to have more competitions that we could also participate in, and other places around the world to go to as well.
Absolutely. So that's a challenge we're just going to hit out there today and during our conversation to go, hey, like, let's pick it up, guys, everywhere, and do that. Because, I mean, having only two or three competitions maximum a year is very, very limited. And so I truly do believe and hope, as I think that we all do, that that's going to change and evolve. And you mentioned something that's very, very important. I mean, kitesurfing is still an extreme sport. I mean, we might get used to it because we drive past it all the time and we see people enjoying themselves and it looks like a lot of fun. But it is still an extreme sport. And I know my goddaughter, like, at the age of 16, was like, oh, she wants to do kitesurfing. And her parents were like, this is dangerous. You're very small. We're not letting you do this. And I think maybe it was a wise decision. But when someone comes to you, and, like, especially, the next generation or young girls, especially, and they come to you and they go, hey, I want to do this. I want to start kitesurfing. I don't know where to start. Don't know where to begin. Is this dangerous? Am I going to, like, go really high and not be able to come back down? What is kind of your advice and your thinking towards that as well? Because it is an extreme sport. And then for you, did you feel nervous when you started kiting? I mean, it does seem quite scary sometimes, to be honest. Even watching it, it's like, wow, if the wind is really hard and it's really pushing hard, it can be quite frightening just to be watching. So what do you say to people that come to you and say, I want to start, I don't know where to start, and is it scary because it looks scary?
Absolutely. It's terrifying. And there are moments I still get absolutely so scared. And it's so interesting. People come up to you on the beach and they look at this and they're like, "Oh, where can I get this kite? I want to also try this." And our everyone's first reaction is you should not buy a kite. You can, but you should not just buy a kite. You need to pay for lessons and actually go out with an instructor who is certified, who understands the rules, and get at least a few hours with them. I would say, anywhere between like maybe 10 hours with them on the water and on the beach, just learning about the wind, learning about the safety aspect of it, because this is an extreme sport and it is very, very dangerous. And I still remember learning initially and how petrified I was when you first get harnessed into the kite and you feel the power of the kite and you feel, wow, this thing can actually catapult me into the sky, into a building, because there are a few people who die every year from kiting, unfortunately, and it is the case. Even very experienced people, something happens. And so anyone I meet, I always encourage them to take lessons with an instructor. And definitely, I mean, for girls and for women, we just have this natural, safety shield. We're a bit more reserved. We're not as crazy as the boys or the guys. I think that's why they've been able to push and progress a lot faster than us. We are limited because we have this like self-preserving factor about us a bit more than the men. But yeah, my advice to any of the young girls would be like, you're gonna feel fear, and that fear is okay. It's there to protect you, and there's gonna be moments where you have to push past that fear and go for something that you're ready for. But just to make sure that you are ready for the next step and don't push too hard. That's past your current capabilities or your current limits, so that you are thus putting yourself in more danger. But with big air, there always comes that moment where you're like, I'm scared, and you have to be like, well, screw it. I have to overcome that fear, and I just have to go for it because I know I'm ready. And having someone else, for example, a coach, my coach is my husband. He's also a big air rider, and
That's
he,
cool.
you know, recently in Brazil, yeah, it's actually wonderful. Recently in Brazil, I was learning some new tricks, and it was quite light for the trick. The wind was not super strong, and he was like, "This is the perfect moment for you to go for it the first time. You have to do it now." And I told him over the radios, I was like, "I'm scared," and he's like, "You just have to overcome that fear because you're ready for this trick." So we all have that feeling. Just acknowledge it. Don't push past it all the time, but just acknowledge it and know when you are ready for the next step, I would say is key.
I love that, acknowledging the fear, not, trying to bury it or suppress it or go, well, it's not real, it's not there. It's part of it. It's part of the experience, part of the journey, not push it away. And how did the trick go, by the way? He was like, okay, you're ready for this, you can do it. How did it go? I'm intrigued.
Yeah, it went really well actually. That day I landed the trick a few times in super light wind. I wasn't going very high, probably around 5, 6 meters. And then it was really great because Brazil is super consistent. There's wind every single day during the high season. So you can kind of predict that, at certain times of the day it's gonna be strong and or light. And so it's really great to practice and train there because you're gonna get wind. And so then the day after that, and it ended up being a little bit stronger. So I was able to go a little bit higher and kind of build up the confidence from there. But that being said, I also had a really bad crash in Brazil a few weeks after that. I had a bad crash in early October where I hit my head. Turns out my ear was actually bleeding a little
Oh
bit.
no.
We ended up having to go and get a CT scan just in case, and everything was fine. I was very dizzy and disoriented when it happened. And that kind of pushed me back a little bit. The fear factor was definitely there. I was a little bit reluctant after that to push so hard. And I think that also is part of the process. We all know that crashes are inevitable. And the other guys I talked to, they're like, "Hey, we know you're scared, and crashes are inevitable. You're gonna crash when you're learning a new trick or even going for something that you think you have dialed. Something might happen." But just knowing to crash carefully and safely is also important. And even having a bad crash where you hurt yourself is all part of the process. And just knowing that, like, a lot of people have gotten injured. And I'm, really, really careful lately. I've been not trying to push too hard because I'm at this, just stage in my career and my life. I'm very risk averse. but which is definitely impacting my big air right now. But I just think that because I had this bad crash, I'm trying to overcome that and slowly get back into it and know that I can push safely when the time comes. And right now here in Cape Town, it's always tough coming back to Cape Town because most of the athletes come from Brazil, where the wind is not as dense. It's warm wind, and here the wind is a lot punchier, it's stronger. There's kickers, and so it's always tough coming back to Cape Town and reacclimating to the conditions. And so it's not like immediately I come here and I'm practicing all the epic new tricks I learned in Brazil. It's more that I'm getting back into the groove of these conditions, feeling the wind again, and going back to kind of the basics of the bigger tricks I can do, and making sure I have those dialed, especially before the competition comes up.
I'm so glad you mentioned that, and thank you so much for sharing what happened to you. I'm super glad that you're good, but I know that
Yeah,
we
thank you.
also, well, I really am, and I think it's so much like that. I remember snapping my ACL playing sport a couple of
Oh
years ago,
no.
and it was terrible. I had to have it
What were you doing?
reconstructed. I was playing netball, well, competitive netball, like I was captaining the
Gotcha.
team.
Wow.
And I snapped my ACL, and it was so weird when you snap your ACL because you literally go
Oh,
up,
yeah.
right? And you like catch a ball and you come down and suddenly you fall over and everyone was like waiting for me to get up and I was just like not getting
Oh
up
no.
because it happened so
No.
weirdly, right? It's not
Yeah.
like it doesn't look like something happened to you. And I remember snapping it and then having it reconstructed and they were like, we're going to take fibers of your hamstring and we're going to do this, we're going to do that. And it was like close to a 4-hour operation because all my cartilages were damaged. It was insane. But anyway, so I mean, since having that operation, rehabilitating, I didn't rehabilitate properly. So I had to go back. It was whatever.
Oh no.
Then you become very risk averse. Like I'm
Yeah.
risk averse because I'm like, I'm not playing this kind of sport, not doing that kind of sport. The surgeon told me never to do this. And you just become like that, I think. And like you said, there's a self-preservation that we have. And also I think the brain is so powerful, right? It's like
Yeah,
it's protecting
definitely.
you the whole time. Don't do this because you might do that. And even though you know you're perfect, it's a crazy thing. And so it's just crazy. And so, but you are in a high stakes competition. So I want to know, of course, like you said, the wind here is crazy. It really is. And today it's crazy. It's blowing nuts. And how do you train then, like mentally? Because I think that we focus so much on the physical and we go, wow, look at what they're able to do. That's come from so much training. But how do you train? Of course, physically you're acclimatizing again to these conditions, but also there mental exercises strategy that you have to use for yourself to get you into a really good mental space to participate in a competition like Red Bull King of the Year or any other competition that's high stakes.
Yeah, no, this is a wonderful question. And I have been asked this previously, and I don't really know how to answer it because, generally speaking, I in general with the kiting, I try not to put too much pressure on myself. This Red Bull King of the Air is definitely the biggest competition I am doing, or I have done in the past, and I am a bit nervous for it, but I'm also just trying to have fun and have a good time. Yesterday the ladies all got together and we had like a small shoot going on, and it was just so much fun being with, these ladies are all my friends. We've known each other for years, so it's really great just to be with everybody, to be in this environment that is, uplifting, and everyone is there for each other. So yeah, I know that many of the girls do get very nervous. Some of them have mental coaches. I am not one of them. I try to approach everything with kind of a, let's not put pressure on myself, let's have fun, attitude. And I think that actually might come with me being a little bit older from the ladies. Yes, I am a bit older. Other competitive athletes, some of them are in their like, mid to low 20s, and I come from having another career already and kind of coming into this a little bit later. And so for me, I think the pressure is a little bit different. I don't feel like I need to prove myself necessarily, even though, all these other ladies have been competing longer than me. Some of them come from freestyle competing. Many of them have like great accolades and awards. And for me, my aim and my goal for this competition is really to go big and to go and have fun during the process. And for me, I think even right now when I am being a little bit cautious, because to be honest with you, we've had a few friends in the male division or in the open division who've gotten injured right before the competition. And it's been a bit petrifying to see that, especially because for us bigger riders, Red Bull King of the Air is in fact it is the competition. It's the biggest thing the whole year. And to see some of our friends get injured right before, some of them need to get surgery. So just watching that, and in Brazil, we also had a competition in November, early November, before we came back. And there was a bigger competition where the conditions weren't great. It wasn't strong wind. It was very choppy. There was a big current. Anybody jumping to the left had a disadvantage. Those jumping to the right could use the waves as kickers. So it was tough. And I remember there was a moment where my husband was like, "You need to do something big or you're not going to make it to the next heat." And then in my head, I was like, I don't want to risk doing something big and potentially hurting myself, because my goal is to ride in Red Bull King of the Air. My goal is the next competition. And so it's not worth it for me to push hard. But I know in this coming competition, I think as soon as we start, I'm going to turn on, competition mindset. It's going to be full send mode. And I think I'm going to go as hard as I can. But the weeks leading up to it, or the even the month and a half leading up to Red Bull King of the Year window period starting, I'm just like so careful and so cautious right now that that's yeah. But I think I'm in a pretty good mindset. Yeah, I like to enjoy life and to not put too much pressure on myself, because I think coming from competing in high school and college, that type of adrenaline and rechanneling that into competing is great. But I don't want it to potentially hurt myself in how I perform. I don't want that mental aspect to end up hurting my
I
performance.
love that as well, because I think it, obviously you mentioned that you're a bit older. I mean, you had a career before coming into this, but I think we always say it, and it does sound like a cliche, but it is completely true that there is wisdom that comes with age and experience, and that is the kind of wisdom that you bring into a competition. And I think it's so cool. I think it's so important that it's about also having fun. It's about going, you know what, I'm here to also have fun. I'm here to enjoy this moment. It's a beautiful moment.
Absolutely.
And I think that's so key. And so that's so exciting as well. You know, when we're going to be watching you and, you know, cheering you on when you're participating, to go, you're also out there having fun, you know, and that's the energy that you want to have inside of your heart as well when you're doing this. I mean, I'm also having fun and taking this all in. And I wanted to ask you, like, you know, when people are gathered on the beach and the crowds come out, because everybody loves coming to watch King of the Air, and even though it's super windy and conditions on the beach are not ideal for watching anything.
For definitely.
I mean, really, I mean, sand in your hair, sand whipping through your face. But you know what? It's so cool to watch these amazing tricks. How much do you know that there's a crowd on the beach when you're busy? You know, well, obviously, you're going to be doing King of the Air for the first time. But I mean, is there the sense that there are people on the beach watching you? I mean, because you're so far out and you're focused on what you're doing. Is there the sense of like that there's some good energy coming from the beach and people cheering, or not really? You know, when there's competitions and stuff, it doesn't make a difference when people are watching.
I think it definitely does make a difference. You can feel the energy, you can feel everyone channeling good vibes towards you, and it really is exhilarating. I think sometimes when I'm riding, I do try to tune some of that out just for focus, but definitely you can feel the energy, you can feel everyone around you. And especially in King of the Air, I've watched it a few times live, and there's so many people around. There's so much cheering, and it really is amazing to watch and see how the athletes do and interact with the audience.
Yeah, it's really, really cool. I mean, it's just everyone looks forward to it here as well. And the final thing I wanted to ask you is, of course, you mentioned that yesterday, you know, you had a nice little photo shoot with the ladies. And of course, there is such a connection between all of you and friendships, camaraderie, you know, and is there just a sense that it is beautiful that together you're all creating this moment and a part of this moment and kind of cheering each other on, even though someone is going to win. Is it a sense of like there's that, I don't want to use the word sisterhood, but I'm going to use it here, that connection and that friendship and that joy of going, wow, we're in this moment, we are in this together, and this is history in the making, and we are, experiencing that and just kind of lifting each other up and with excitement and with the joy of going, this is an incredible moment. Yes, one of us are gonna win, but we're still here kind of, cheering for each other. We're in this together.
Absolutely, there definitely is, especially among the women. I think women in general are so we're built differently than the men in that we are, we're super supportive. We've always been, and there isn't. I mean, there still is that competitive side, but I think all of us are first and foremost friends, and we've been through, we've been through the competitive stages together. We've been traveling the world all together, and we always see one another everywhere we go because there's pretty much a bigger circuit where you chase, the seasons of wind everywhere around the world. And so, yes, and I would that the answer to that is absolutely yes. Everyone is so supportive. We're all there for one another. We're all there cheering. And in competitions, I think what happens is people might not be proud of themselves or how they performed themselves, but it's never that, oh, I'm upset at X person, or I'm not going to support this person. We're always super supportive. We're always cheering one another on, and we know exactly like what everybody's best trick is, what their reach trick is. And so when someone lands something that's like, wow, the energy is just completely exhilarating. And for example, in the most recent competition in Brazil, we had two ladies just completely go head to head in the finals, and it was the most amazing thing I've ever witnessed. It was the most amazing heat of women's big air I've ever seen, and just the energy in the crowd and all of us on the beach. We were cheering everyone on, but we were also looking at the live scoring on our phones and helping one another, and it was just the most amazing thing ever. And the riding was incredible. I saw some riding, like I saw a friend pull out things that I've never seen her do previously. So it's just like such an amazing experience. And all of us are, yeah, we're always there cheering one another on. And it was so much fun. And I think all of us are there, yeah, just to really be supportive. And that's just the nature of how women are. And I think it's really nice to be surrounded by these types of ladies.
I can't agree more. Ladies are like that. And witnessed that as well in Red Bull Rampage this year. I don't know if you watched that, Jasmine. Do you ever watch
No, I haven't. No.
free riding? It was amazing because, I mean, Red Bull Rampage, of course, with free riding biking, I mean, in Utah, has been happening for like decades already for men.
Oh,
And of
wow.
course, this year as well was the inaugural women's one. And so Red Bull is stepping up. I'm really grateful that they're really stepping up for, women and equality and inclusivity. I think it's really cool. But also just to watch how different the women's competition was, as opposed to the men's competition, like with that, all the ladies were like cheering each other on. I mean, hugging each other when they finally got down the
Oh,
mountain.
amazing.
It's so cool. And I know that we're going to witness that as well with this King of the Air. I'm super excited about it. And for those who are listening, we have some incredible, incredible women who are going to be participating, like Anjali. And she's from France, Francesco, who's from the UK. Jasmine, of course, representing the USA, even though she considers Cape Town her home base. Maybe we'll convince her to, I don't know, represent us one day, Jasmine. I don't know. We'll have to adopt you because South Africans are like
Well,
that.
I'm waiting for my spousal visa. So as soon as that comes in, I'm down. But I've been waiting for nearly a year now.
Oh,
So
wow.
yeah.
Okay, then it will have to be USA slash South African because now it just has to be. And we also have Pippa and Zara from the Netherlands and Sarah from Egypt. So it's going to be amazing. Many different
Oh, it's
women from.
actually Natalie.
Is it
So
Natalie?
it's Natalie. Sara is she is a reserve, and Natalie is the other lady who is in it.
So
Yeah, I did
she.
see that on the brief.
Yeah. Okay, cool. I'm super grateful that you're saying that. So Natalie is actually going to be the one starting, right? And
Yeah, so it's
Sarah is
Natalie
reserve.
Lambrecht, and
Okay.
she's from Sweden.
Okay, cool. Well, thank you so much for that because when we see it come
Oh, of
up
course.
in the competition, we're going to be like, okay, what happened? What happened to Sarah? Is she okay? Now we know exactly because that is super, super important. And so, Jasmine, I want to say from my side, all the best for the competition that's going to be happening. Know
Thank
that
you.
Everyone's going to be just celebrating this moment. A lot of us know what this means from the outside, but I know it means so much more being on the inside of it. And so I just really just pray that you have an amazing time, that it's fun, that you have just so much joy and light and life as you are in the waves, as you're participating, competing, and just feeling all the good vibes from everybody around you. And yeah, just thank you to you for getting to this moment as well, and knowing that this was something you wanted to do, and the time is finally now. So I'm just super grateful for that, and just know it's going to be amazing. So thank you so, so much for, bringing us all to this moment, being part of this amazing inaugural women's division, and just all the best for the competition. And thank you so much for being here with me today as well.
Thank you. No, thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited. I'm so grateful to have the opportunity to speak about my experiences, to speak about the event and what it means to us ladies. And I'm really looking forward to it. I'm going to try my hardest to, do well, but also have a lot of fun. And I'm really excited. Thank you
Yeah,
again.
it's such a pleasure. Take care.
You've been listening to the She Speaks Sport podcast. Find us on your favorite podcast app, like Apple, Google, Castbox, and Spotify. Subscribe and like to stay updated on all new episodes. Thanks for listening.